Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to all your listeners.
All right, mate, what's happening?
Beautiful day here. Going to be back up to the mid-20s. Got up close to 30 last week, Peter, so it was quite warm. Very nice, pub. We had a great, great Sunday at the Broke Village Fair. Record crowd, they think, well over 5,000, maybe.
Oh, that's
pushing,
good.
Yeah, pushing quite a bit more than that. Yeah, it was a great day. We had a lot of wonderful people came by, and it was very windy in the morning, but where the actual event was in McNamara Park there, it's very heavily treed with very large trees, and there was not much wind there at all, Peter, which is a good job because it's pretty dry. And of course, there's a lot of dust blows around when it's as dry as this, you know, once the wind starts. So yeah, it was a great day, Peter. Too bad you missed it, mate.
Yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't get some transport, but never mind. There'll be other opportunities.
Yeah, there will. And, you know, it's the weather's going to continue improving. So we expect to get more and more visitors. Not that it was, you know, the winter was quite nice anyway. And in fact, I don't think on any day that we actually didn't taste outside under the trees or under the marquees. We've got that area, as you know, we've got wind guards up, so there's no wind there.
Right.
But the weather was so good. It wasn't good for farmers because it was too dry, but, you know, the rain drives us inside. But for wine tasting, it was very, very good.
I was about to ask you that, actually. How is the water situation? How are you surviving?
Well, you know, as you know, we've got bore water here, and we're on the pipeline from the Upper Hunter, so we've got vineyard water. But you know, that rain, I see a green tinge all around. We got about 25 mil ourselves, but a lot of people got more. I've heard of just 10 kilometers away from here, they got 60 mil. So
wow.
You know, it was a bit spotty, but it was great rain because it came over a long period of time. And of course, it put some much needed water in our rain tank. So, you know, that's where we're short of water, not in the dam or the vineyard water. But we're going to have to start watering, Peter. The problem is the water table is so low. You know, the plants got roots down, but they got to go a long way to find the water.
Which is a bit sad. Now, obviously, with all that happening, would that affect, you know, the taste of the wine and what you get?
They say no, but I don't believe that. I believe plants like rain.
Yeah.
They spread their roots out. They don't have to chase a drip or, you know, the watering. They go down, you know, get normal amount of water from the soil. They don't come up to the surface looking for water, you know, that's dripping in. I think rain is healthy for all crops, including trees. You know, I think watering, got to water to keep them going, keep them alive. But I think nothing better than good old Mother Earth water for a plant.
Right. And let's hope, you know, that's going to happen, mate.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get weather forecasts anymore. You just buy a pogo stick.
Yeah, and it's not forecast to be good this year either, Peter.
No.
So
Look at all the bushfires around the country.
Yeah, we got serious issues coming up, I think. They're already very serious, you know, out in the West, have been for a long time. So, but what can you do? Not much. So, anyway, Peter.
What have you got for us today, man?
Well, a few things have been happening. You know, maybe first we'll talk about the magic of mushrooms.
Oh, I love them in spaghetti bolognese.
Okay, I didn't say magic mushrooms. I said the magic of mushrooms, Peter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry about that. I'll go out and come in again.
Yeah, I know a study came out that came out of Japan, naturally enough, where they eat a lot of mushrooms. But if you eat mushrooms three times a week, Peter, you're 17% lower risk of getting prostate cancer.
Really?
Yes, so you better tell your friend. We were talking about the other week when we actually talked about the outpatient not cure, but treatment they had to remove prostate cancer, where they put nanites of gold into your prostate and then treat it, and it eradicates the cancer completely. But here is a good way to help prevent it. I think it's the second largest killer of men, so 17% lower risk, and I love mushrooms, so...
Yeah, I agree with that, and there's nothing like, say, get out the toast and, you know, prepare the mushrooms and put them on there, a little bit of tomato. We haven't even looked at the meat, but, I mean, it's a lovely breakfast.
Well, it is, and I have fond memories of a child. You know, we go out into the country and you pick, like, massive, massive amounts of mushrooms in the fields. I mean, I'm talking probably... You know, we take all the neighborhood kids with us, probably get 200 kilos of mushrooms.
Wow.
Go out in the truck and basically fill it up. And then it's mushrooms, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for like a week and a half.
You know, the most amazing thing, you said that, you know, mushrooms are good for preventing all sorts of things. And the surprising thing is they're a fungus.
Yeah, they are. They've definitely, look, most mushrooms are poisonous, and there's definitely super drugs in mushrooms, or I shouldn't say mushrooms are poisonous, fungus, most funguses are poisonous.
Yeah.
And mushroom is one of them, and of course toadstools, everybody knows that toads are poisonous, but you know, and magic mushrooms are poisonous as well. It's just that the, you know, the poison attacks the body in a different way. But, you know, the ones that we eat still have a level of poison in there, and that's actually the chemicals that are probably doing the work on the prostate cancer, killing off the killing off prostate cancer cells. So, so we gotta keep our mushrooms up, Peter.
Yeah, that sounds like the object of the lesson. Amazing, you know, eat the mushrooms and stone the hell out of the cancer.
Exactly. It's quite funny. There was another interesting article. This one came out of Germany, Peter. They found that Parkinson's starts in the intestines.
Really?
Yes. And it goes through the nervous system to the brain. And it's a... the possible to... it's a pathological alpha synuclein in the gut, and they can determine that 20 years before the patient gets Alzheimer's. So, no, not Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. So now they have to figure out when they test and find this particular compound that they have some way to treat it, and that's the next step. They said this is a very important step because this is a. They did tests on rats, Peter. They breed these. Rats, as we know, they're 98% human rats, and they breed them particularly to develop Parkinson's. And they're able to trace this through the nervous system to the brain in these rats. Mm. So, so in humans, they say 20 years, it'll probably show up before the symptoms of Parkinson's. So that's a very important step. If you know what it is, you can work on a cure or a prevention for it.
Yeah, in fact, I have a neighbor who suffers that condition, and he's on a lot of medication.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can relate to what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a terrible, debilitating disease, and, you know, it's... and a lot of people have it, and they don't know they have it, you know, and I mean... And I'm not sure that it's related, but a lot of old people, of course, get very shaky and unsteady, and, you know, and it could be early signs of Parkinson's or anything else, but I guess, but it's a neurological problem for sure. But anyway, I thought that was very interesting, Peter, because that's the first step in finding a cure, or not a cure necessarily, but either blocking the pathway or eliminating the cause, you know, of the Parkinson's as it migrates. We found out, of course, that gingivitis, the gum disease, actually, is in the brain in 96% of Alzheimer's patients. So, remember, we talked about that, and good oral health is very important. So there's two brain type things that they've discovered, and I think that people should be very careful about looking after their oral health and making sure that they're not one of those 96%.
Did you see the article, while I think of it, the other day, where they're suggesting that eating pizza at breakfast time is actually better than any of the breakfast cereals? And I was fascinated with that. I thought, how does that work? But when you really think about it, there are a number of cultures around the world that actually do just that.
Yes, they do, of course. And in a lot of cultures, Peter, it's stone bread. And it looks like a piece of pizza crust,
right?
But it's basically not. It's just, you got to be very careful with cereals, because we talked about those processed foods, Peter.
Yep.
And if you're going to eat pizza for breakfast, you got to make sure you study the package pretty well, because it's much better to eat a natural breakfast if you can. I don't know how many natural pizzas are available, but those those processed foods.
Are you natural? Yeah.
Those processed foods are not good for you. We found out that I think it was an average of 10 to 13% increase in cardiovascular disease for every 10% increase in consumption, Peter.
Yeah, there was another thing too that I noticed. The Italians particularly drink a reasonable amount of wine, and apparently the reason for that is to knock down the fat that's in their diet.
Yes, well, of course it is. It's well known because it's got tartaric acid in it. It's a digestive, as we've talked about before.
Yeah.
And it works on helping more complete digestion and much quicker digestion. And, of course, it speeds up the heart, gets the blood through the system. It's equivalent. If they did that massive study in the United States, I think they had a million people in it or something, and they give them all sorts of interviews about what their diets are, their habits and everything else. And the two categories that were identical in health, physical fitness, body mass index and everything were people that exercise moderately three times a week and people that drank two glasses of wine a day.
Nah.
So
the truth's coming out.
Yeah, it does have an effect on your cardiovascular system, for sure.
Mm.
I think that people that exercise moderately three times a week and drink two glasses of wine a day are probably in better shape. But
particularly the reds too, I notice.
Yes.
And I like red wine, and your selection, of course, is out of this world.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. Reds are, of course, higher in antioxidants. Because of the fact that they're fermented with the skin and whites are not. They'd be higher in antioxidants as well. So, but I think it's a definitely higher level of antioxidant. The antioxidants play a very important part in your general health and the health of your gut as well. But it's probably just as much from this physical point of view is the alcohol speeding up your blood system and the tartaric acid. Mind you, that's not in regular alcohol, tartaric acid, but because that's the digestive and sometimes a bit of citric too, which is also a digestive. So, Peter, it's good for you no matter what. And if it tastes like a cellar organic wine does,
it probably is a cellar organic wine.
That's exactly right. And you can get it, Peter. Lots of people do. And we've had a lot of visitors out to the vineyard in the past week or 10 days. And as I said before, I think it's the improving weather. And you can mix and match down to a 9-pack and get free delivery Australia-wide, Peter. And so no excuse not to have a little bit of nice organic wine in your cupboard.
Yeah, the thing is, too, if you're not really, fussed on home delivery, talk to your local bottle shop. Ask them if they got it. If they haven't got it, why not?
Yeah, exactly. And we do have, Roey's in Newcastle, and we have a couple of it escapes me. Fennel Bay, that's what I was trying to think of. Fennel Bay sellers as well, yeah. And a few others carry it. So you can get it in your area, Peter. There's not a problem there. So, but nothing like waltzing up to the cellar door here, Peter, and relaxing under the silk tree and gazing down the valley and sipping a very nice collection of wines.
Oh, very true. And I must admit that view, as you look down the valley, you've got the mountains in the background. You couldn't want for anything better. It's tremendous.
Yeah, it is. It's the Broken Back Mountain ridges, and they surround this part of the Hunter Valley. And, of course, the town of Broke, which is not necessarily the best town, I think they should have called it, Broken Back, or they should have at least put a big sign up saying Broke, heart of the Broken Back Mountains. But it doesn't. It just said you're entering Broke, you know. So.
Yeah, so I imagine everyone goes grabbing for their wallet.
Exactly. I don't think it's good marketing, but nobody listens to me, Peter. Except you and I, we listen to each other.
That's right. And we're the ones who are benefiting by doing just that.
Exactly. And there was one more little article, because as you probably aware, I think we haven't mentioned it for probably a year, but in some areas of the United States, they tax sugared drinks, you know, like Coca-Cola's and things like that.
Yes.
And it's had an effect, and they're thinking now in the United States of making that a national federal law that they're going to have a sugar tax. And because it has had an effect, but a study just came out of wherever the heck it came out of. Let me just look here. Don't know what it is. It's a journal. It doesn't say.
You have the exact filing system I have.
Well, it's a BM journal, and I'm not quite sure which one it is. But anyway, they have published the results of a study. They found that if you tax sugared goods like biscuits and cakes and chocolates, if they increase the tax by 20%, the average person in the population would drop 1.3 kilograms over a year. So that would be the direct effect. So they're saying that it actually is five times more effective in their analysis to actually tax sugar in food or in sweet, you know, in sweets than it is sugar in drinks. Probably good to do both, but the greater effect comes from taxing sugar in cookies and cakes and things like that. So,
well, that's going to force the price of everything up.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, look, when they tax tea, you know, that started the American Civil War.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, well, I don't know about taxing sugar. They're going to start another civil war somewhere.
Case of one lump or two. All right, there you go. That's yours.
That's it. Yeah, one lump, three, and two lumps is that'll be an extra dollar. You know?
So you're walking with two swags of coins.
Yeah, so anyway, that's I think it's got to come. Obesity is our biggest problem. You know, it's causes our biggest cause of, you know, health, cardiovascular, cancer, all sorts of things. A percentage increase, those diseases in obese people is much, much higher. And the taxpayers are paying for that.
Yeah.
So they have to, in lots of cases, not all, because some people have medical conditions, but in lots of cases, of course, they drink Coca-Cola and they eat too many sweet things. So they're consuming the sugar, you know, to a greater extent often than the rest of the population, and they probably should be paying a greater percentage of the health costs that arises from it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, it's kind of like, tax people, you know, pay tax on gasoline because they use the roads and cars and things like that. It's kind of a user pays to an extent, but
yeah.
It probably is a fairer way of doing it. They've certainly done it on cigarettes. Cigarettes are 95% taxed now, so You know, and nobody really questions it except the poor smokers, I guess, the ones that are left. But it's kind of a use or pay thing.
Mm-hmm. Dear idea. Mate, well, let's brighten up the day so people can get themselves some lovely organic wine.
They can. They can, as I said, they can come visit us. They can go on cellarwines.com.au or they can call us here at the Vineyard. It's 0265745275. Love to talk to people. And it's getting back into white wine and rosé type weather here, Peter, in the south. Yeah. And so we'll be hearing from lots of people in the next little while, hopefully.
Oh, we're looking forward to that very much. And the white wine and the rosé, maybe a little fish to go with the meal. You're tantalizing my taste buds.
Exactly. Oh, get out the old fishing line, Peter.
Look out, buddy. I'm chasing you around the garden.
Exactly.
All right, mate. It's lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, great, Peter, and we'll catch up with you this time next week.
We sure will. Not an issue at all. Thanks very much.
Okay, good mate.
Thank you. Jeff from Acilla Wines.